Well, we've been in a sermon series together, The Seven Signs of John. John was old in age and I'm sure being encouraged to record all that he had seen and had testified of Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And he was writing to record events, not only just to say that they had happened, but he was recording events to show who Jesus was. In fact, at the end of his gospel in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he kind of gives us a capsule of what John was trying to do. Please see these scriptures and feel free to read with me, if you will. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Verse 31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We just spoke about that life eternal, that new life, how that in losing our life, we may truly find it. We saw that in the life and the ministry and even in the death and resurrection of Jesus, that it is our hope. And today I just want to say to you a word about hope. This is a very strange, very difficult time for many. It has kind of caused us to find a new routine, if able to do. It's kind of caused us to be disjointed in our normal lifestyles, and sometimes we kind of get into this time in a period of concern or a period of worry. And that may be you today. You may feel like you're alone and isolated and may not getting your usual conversations or your usual ability to be with people, and it kind of has gotten you down in a mood. It may be that you have in the past had some marital trouble, but now all of a sudden, because the family and you and your spouse are together even more, the problem seems to be magnified. You may have been someone that has been finding it difficult to meet your financial obligations, and now possibly that you've been furloughed or laid off or even perhaps lost your job. You really don't know what tomorrow holds, much less next week or next month. And then perhaps you're someone that has been struggling with a chronic illness or difficulty in life and regarding your health. And you may be someone today that is just praying because you're very fearful that maybe the coronavirus would in no way come to your home or to your loved ones that you occasionally see. I want to encourage you today that there is hope in Jesus Christ. He is your encouragement, he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. During this time, it's sometimes hard to be in control of ourselves. Our emotions are high, and maybe they're spiked, maybe they're angry, maybe they're bitter, or maybe you're just down and out, and you kind of feel depressed, and you kind of feel like there's a darkness around you. Whatever it may be, I just want you to know that Jesus is with us. He understands. The Spirit of God is pursuing you. The pursuing, drawing you. The goodness of God is running after you. And you have to remember, if you're a child of God, that God has been faithful to you in his goodness for all your life. As you look and you define it and you understand it within the realm of God's will and God's purpose. I was just thinking about the realm of self-control, and whether it's anger or you may think it's self-control of something that's getting out of hand in your life, and it might be maybe a little addiction. Maybe you wouldn't even use that word because it carries some stigma in your mind. Or maybe you're someone else that has an addiction that maybe is with a capital A, and things are kind of getting out of control, especially during this period of the coronavirus. You see, it caused me to be mindful of the many folks in our church that are in recovery. And we're thankful and we welcome them into our faith family. And we welcome them in their journey. And we are learning much from them. And they are teaching us about the road of redemption as they indeed follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as they're finding the resources of Christ in many places and through many people, they lift him up and they praise him in the great transformation of life that they're experiencing. That, my friends, is possible for you as well. It makes me think of good friends that have been in their early life just captured by the addiction of alcohol. But we find that God has redeemed them. God has saved them, and they have had sobriety for decades now. And now they are reinvesting in Christ and in others going through that same journey of life. And they are giving themselves daily away, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus and loving others to help them recover as well. And what an inspiration they are. And it gives you a little bit of a picture of not only our salvation unto heaven, but also the redemption that God expects us and gives us the privilege to use as he has healed our brokenness. Today we are speaking the light shining in our darkness from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. In the comfort of your home or wherever you may be today, we want to invite you to be reading these scriptures with me today. Will you join me, please? As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God to help us read and understand your word today. We yield to the Holy Spirit to testify of the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus. We pray the Holy Spirit would convict us of our sin, of the high standard of perfection of God's righteousness, and the judgment that will come on the living and the dead through Christ. We pray the Holy Spirit would anoint us with gifts from above that we might serve you. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us that we might be your witnesses. And we come this day humbly before you, asking that you would move in our homes, in our families, or that you would give hope and encouragement where there's despair, that you would help us to cry out to you, to not pass us by. We would cry out to you that we would have victory in the name of Jesus. And we pray that today there would be many who would proclaim Jesus their personal King. We confess our sin and pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll join with me in looking at verse 1 and 2, I've entitled this, if you would like to take a note or two, "Who's Responsible for My Suffering?" Who's responsible for my suffering? Jesus saw a blind man from birth, the scripture says. And then verse 2, it kind of clarifies it because his disciples wanted to kind of get into a theological discussion, calling Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Something's going on." And that's a common setting, is it not? It's common for all days and all times. People have wanted to know God's activity, where God is, how God is working in a time of pain and suffering. We have a lot of questions about that. We want to know, is God strong enough to deliver us? We want to know, is God loving enough to care for us during times such as this? We ask questions, all of us. Whose fault is this calamity. We ask the question of who caused this suffering. We ask the question, is this the penalty for my sin? And we ask questions about why is this happening to me and us? And the background of this is very important for you to recognize, is that in the day and time of the Old Testament into the New Testament, it was thought there is no suffering whatsoever or no death whatsoever that's not without our sin. In other words, because of our sin, we've caused our own suffering, our own death even. You can see that very well in the story of Job in the Old Testament, if you would like to look and read about that. But we see that that is what's going on. But here we have a person that is born blind. What in the world could be the cause? Now, you know as well as I do that there is physically some causes for folks to be born blind, and some of that may be as a result of the sinful lifestyle of parents. But it was thought of in the Old Testament everywhere from Exodus 20 verse 5 and other places that when parents sinned, their children would suffer for it. Now, we know and understand that can be the case when children are in abusive relationships or their parents hurt or harm them mentally, emotionally, physically, and sexually. That certainly is something that hurts. And we know that in other cases, like addictions, that fetal alcohol syndrome affects children as well. And so those are but a couple examples. They even tried to explain this sometimes through prenatal sin. Can you imagine that? And they use the verses of Jacob and Esau struggling within the womb as an example. But you and I know that there are various causes of sin, and some can be called natural law. That's found in Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we create our own suffering many times by the choices and the decisions that we make in life. I have experienced that. You have experienced that. We understand that. And then we know that many times we suffer in life because we are sinned against by others. In fact, it's the results of other people's sin. We may be hanging in the wrong crowd, or we may just have the misfortune of having that happen to us by someone that's very close to us and we thought would be very loving to us. But sometimes it may not be so obvious. And sometimes it may feel unexplainable. And you see, I just wanted to say to you, we are the same. During these times, we judge God. Where are you, God? How are you working? I have been praying to you. We actually judge others, saying they're getting what they earn. They just need to go on down that and accept their medicine and take it. And then many times also, we also judge ourselves. What in the world did I do? And maybe there is some reason that we should judge ourselves. But I want to say to you, it can set us back, and it can very much make us angry. Let me ask you just for a moment to work with me here and be thinking of someone that you know due to life circumstances, maybe with family or maybe with jobs, or it may be something that only you know, something in their upbringing, but they are literally angry persons. They may try to mask it in their quietness, in their shyness. They may try to mask it in some kind of humor or personality. But the truth of the matter is, it comes out occasionally, and you have seen it. We've seen it. And more than that, we understand it because we too can be angry. And it comes out as being demeaning, and many times that person has not come to faith or they've lost faith. And in reality, we don't really like being around them much because of how negative they are, how mean-spirited they are. But you can understand when things happen in our life, we all ask the questions that the disciples asked. Who's responsible for my suffering? And then secondly, in verse 3, I'd like to give you a question for you to think about. Is there purpose in my suffering? Look at verse 3. Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned. So in this sometimes obscure and unexplainable situation, Jesus said, But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, we want to look at this very carefully because, you know, how are the works of God displayed? Well, he's saying it is displayed in the platform of our suffering. Whatever you're experiencing, there is an opportunity for the works of God to be displayed. And so there's the picture that the experiences that you have in life are opportunities to see and to receive God's grace and his power and glorify him and bring blessing to you. That's the message that's being said here from Jesus. God can get the glory through our experiences of suffering, either through his healing or by giving us unusual grace to endure. How does that sound to you? That is your hope today. Whatever you may be facing, that is your opportunity to know that God wants to display his powerful, wonderful works in you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul encourages the church at Corinth by saying, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Friends, whether you're near today or far away in another state or even country, don't lose heart. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. God, through his truth, testifies of Jesus Christ as Lord. He testifies of his love and compassion and mercy for you and for me, whatever we may be facing. It may seem that it's never going to end, but be faithful and think about the things that God is doing in and through you and maybe even in this platform of suffering. And be of good cheer that God is working and God is pursuing you with his endless goodness and love throughout. You see, we know that God blesses you so that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So where is God in my suffering? How does God work? Many people want to know, and I would say to you that many folks that are contemplating faith, maybe checking out Jesus and the stories of the Bible, if they're true. Is God sovereign? Is he controlling and dictating every event, crossing every T, dotting every I? I would say to you, it's a very difficult thing to understand because the Bible speaks of the sovereignty of God, but also speaks of the human responsibility that we have as people. And so when we look at it, one thing I want to tell you is that the Bible speaks of the sovereignty of God about his glory train. His glory train is bound for heaven. Just how the Word of God teaches us and tells us about the end times and the end ages is exactly how things will happen. And the Bible gives us warnings about those times and signs that are coming as well before Jesus returns again and who judges the living and the dead. And so we must know that exactly what Jesus has planned, what the Bible teaches us, will come to be. Now, more specifically, this week, did you see on one of the newscasts that there were nurses at Baptist Health in southern Indiana, I believe New Albany area, I'm not positive, but they had gathered in a circle every day at noon. I'm telling you, if you saw the visual, it was quite touching. And they were spread out in kind of a nice diagram, and they were praying every day at noon. And they interviewed one of the ladies, and they said, "We believe this is the least that we can do for our patients, for ourselves, for our families, for our life, and for our world, that Jesus might be glorified." And one thing that stuck out to me at that time, the lady said, "God is in control." And so I began to ask, I wonder what she meant by that. What does she mean when God's in control? Is God in control of the destiny of what's happening? God's in control of everything that's happening, not only now and beyond. And so I began to ask myself questions about this difficult topic at times. And so we struggle with this many times. We have difficulty with this. Can God be sovereign, I ask myself, and not control everything that happens? The Bible teaches he allows human responsibility, right? The Bible says that we live in a fallen, sinful world, and this very story teaches us that we're all blind from birth as to our sin and rebellion against God. There's verses about our free choices, is there not? And the Bible teaches us that God allows and permits things to happen. Well, we see that in various parts of the Old and the New Testament. And the Bible teaches us that at times God limits his power. And we ask ourselves why and how all of this fits together about what's happening with the coronavirus, or maybe what's happening in your life situation and when those storms come, where is God and how he is working and what is our responsibility? You say, well, you're throwing at us more questions than you are answers. You see, but God gives us choice. And your decision to follow Jesus is not a choice if it's not free. God has given you that free choice to love him. But I want to say to you as well, it's not true love if it's not a choice. But perhaps this is the greatest thing that will bring us together, regardless of your theological persuasion. Because I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe in the human responsibility of man, or the free will of man likewise. And I believe the Bible teaches us both. But here's something that you can hang your hat on. When we say God is in control, this is really how God is working. God is in control of me, and God is in control of my response to my circumstances. That is the grace and the power of God from upon high. And that's God's promise that everything will be okay if we submit ourselves to his control, his lordship, and if we will submit our circumstances to him and say, thy will be done, not mine. We see that that's very important in our very own lives. Now, that's how your life and suffering bring glory to God. That's what matters. And I suspect with me, you've seen that in other people in life. They've inspired you. And perhaps, maybe today, if you're not professing Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you know folks that it's inspired you that so much that it's almost made you want to believe in faith and in Christianity. Well, I have a very dear friend whose faith is solid, rock solid. In fact, she wasn't born with equal opportunity parents. Whatever the reason may be, she was placed for adoption early and was blessed to be taken into a strong family of faith. She grew and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And through that time of growth spiritually in her life, she had a invaluable testimony of the goodness and grace of God. In her life, she began to seek out her biological parents, and she wanted to reconcile to some degree and find peace there and perhaps some relationship. And then as well, she wanted to come full circle in a redemptive ministry of what she had gone through and journeyed in life. And she decided to adopt two children herself, her and her husband did, and to find the blessings of being involved in using the experiences of God's grace and power in her own life. And then challenges continued, losing family due to cancer, having cancer herself and fighting that long and arduous and difficult and painful road. And through it all, never complained. Through it all, entrusted her life and her life situation and circumstances and humbled herself before a living God. And to this day, she is an invaluable daily witness for God. And That's the kind of witness where it says, in order that the works of God might be displayed in your circumstances, in those things that in reality, many of which are beyond your control. They are unexplainable many times to us. They're not so easy to discern what is going on or how it happened or even why it happened in our life. But of a truth, it's the scripture that we enjoy speaking of very much in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a power verse for so many. And we know that our God works in all things together, works in all things together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then Romans 8, 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, in these difficult times that whatever we're facing, the glory of God is revealed. His compassion and love and mercy comes upon you where you are changed from the inside out and you become a vessel to be used for him to proclaim the glories of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. And that's the message that he has. If you look at verses 8 and 9, I just wanted to share with you what happened here in the scripture. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. And anything better I can tell you right now is that was a changed man. The neighbors argued whether it was him or not. He had a growing testimony, if you read the rest of the chapter, about how he was emboldened in his faith, how he came to know Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the one who he should believe in. And so when we begin to see that in the very end, he even believes and worships. Isn't it wonderful if someone asked you, are you the same person I used to know? What has happened in your life? How did you change? And perhaps you'll say with this man born blind from birth, I was blind, but now I see. And lastly, I want to refer you to verses 4 and 5. The question that we want to pose is, how do I respond to suffering? Verse 4, it says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, it says that we together should work to point people to Jesus while there's still time to do that. If you'll notice in this passage, he says, we are the ones. He was calling out his disciples. We are the ones that should work while it is still day. That we includes you and me. It includes disciples that are living today. He includes us in his labors. And what a blessing to be able to serve and to love in the name of Jesus with the new heart and the new mind and the new will he has born us with spiritually. And it's work that you and I should be focused upon. He said, we must work while it's still day. You hear that emphatic, we must do it. It's a divine necessity. And for Jesus, it was his last few months before he died. And he knew out of necessity that he must be working while it's still day because night is coming when they will be able to work no more. Death is coming. Don't know how long that we have. You must understand that time is short. James 4:14 simply summarizes, says life is brief. It's like a vapor that comes and quickly vanishes away. And so Jesus is teaching us that we must cut holes in the darkness with the light of his word and the light of the Holy Spirit where we live, and we must do it with urgency. That's the opportunities. You know, I'm so blessed with a wonderful, loving church family. They have helped me to grow and continue to help me to grow in so many ways. I'm so thankful for their love and their patience. I'm thankful for their example before me. And just but one example, I'm so thankful. Today I'm thinking of some men in our church, and readily what came to mind was four men that are retirees. You know, they don't punch a clock. They don't get paid. But I guarantee you, they're in full-time ministry. They get up every day. They sense the Holy Spirit leading. They volunteer for ministry with community ministries within the church. They visit, they call, they serve, they love. And it's a real inspiration to me to watch them, to see them. They inspire me. And I just want to say that they're loved and called to serve. They didn't wait till they were retired. They had done this their whole life of faith. And that's the same I must that is involved for you and me. I must work while it is still day. They did it in their family. They did it in their workplace. They did it with their finances. But now the season has changed, and now that they're no longer working, quote, officially at a job, they do it full time and with the joy of the Lord. I've never seen anyone happier. But if we look at verses 6 and 7, I just want to refer you that after saying this, Jesus spit on the ground and he made some mud and he kind of kneaded it together like flour or dough. And he placed it on the man's eyes and he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the scripture says, so the man went and washed and came home seeing. There's something very important for us to realize. How do I respond to suffering? It's the admonition of Scripture that says we must walk by faith, not by sight. Can you imagine the morning routine of the man born blind? Here I go again. I'm getting ready to go down by the temple, hoping someone will give me enough bread or enough change to live one more day. I don't really any longer have the support of family. They're not able to support me much. I've got my sign that says homeless or food needed. I would gladly work for food, but I can't work at all. I can't see. And so he may have run out of hope too. He may have had some of the similar emotions that maybe you're feeling today of anger or despair or of having literally no answers. And he may have felt isolated and people passed by him every day and would not even see him, much less him see them. But the miracle here is that he chose to trust and obey. He did what God wanted, and that's the same thing that God wants of you and what God wants of me. How do we respond to suffering? Daily, we take one step at a time, and it may be a small step, but perhaps as we're stepping one day at a time, we learn more, God reveals more to us, we see the truth more to where we arrive at the destination where he's healed us or he's given us his grace. And that's the miracle of what we're talking about, the light shining in our darkness. There's a blindness in you too. There's a blindness in me, things that I can't see or things that I should see but I don't want to look at, things that God wants to reveal to me that I block out or block off because of I love my sin more than I love the light. But the scripture says that Jesus told them at the end of the job, blessed are you because you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and they still believe. This is the example of the man born blind. I want to move ahead to verses 35 through 38 just to kind of tell you what the end result was. Jesus heard that they had thrown the man born blind out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped Jesus. That's exactly what happens in all of our lives. And in fact, the scriptures testify of it. I want to read it with you just one more time, John 20, verses 31 today. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the eternal Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, of a truth, every person is spiritually blind from birth. We are prone to rebel. There is inherent sin in our life. We see it through that which we love the most, our babies, our infants, our toddlers. The sin nature comes out. And the Bible tells us of that natural man, that biological man. It says the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. But I want to say to you, blind people, I can speak of this personally, and you can too if you've been saved by the grace of God through faith. We don't just need more information to make a decision. We need light to open our blind eyes and our hard hearts. And you see, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today to give you hope in your circumstances, because the Bible tells us God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible. Today, will you choose to believe the truth and principles of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit speaks to you through prayer. Will you seek God out in your prayers and learn to listen to Him through Scripture and to meditate on what He's saying to you, and He'll reveal Himself to you? God speaks to you through other brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians. And perhaps there's been someone that God is using as a vessel to pursue you, to model the life of Christ, to have a pursuing love, a sacrificial love, a gracious love. And you know God is using someone to draw you to Him. And then God speaks to you by the Holy Spirit through circumstances. We often close God down. We often run from God. But listen, in these circumstances today that you are facing, will you run to God? He will speak to you. He will love you. And most of all, the Scripture says, in order to understand, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. And there's something that happens that's beyond the vessel, beyond the people by which the Spirit of God uses to speak to you or to serve you. You will know God is speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. And you will be convinced, or the Bible says convicted, that you need Jesus as your Lord. And then He'll be your Savior. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you have to approach Him with perfection. It does mean that you've had something substantive changed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, that you are seeing the birth pangs of being born spiritually. Your heart's beginning to change. You have a different love, a different desire. Your mind's beginning to change. You think differently about the world. You think differently about the kingdom of God. You think differently about serving God. Your will's beginning to change. All of a sudden, you're considering what God thinks, and you're examining yourself to see if you know of God. There is something being born again of you, of the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And the amazing wonder of it all is that God gives you all that you need. You're not going to be saved without the grace of God and the truth of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, pursuing you, drawing you. But you must respond in faith. It's the choice that you must make. The Bible says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. You must say, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Are you willing to surrender your life and your circumstances to Him? You can't do it by yourself. You can't morally reform. All that we can do is humble ourselves, cry out to the Lord and say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit will change you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you Jesus' way, His truth, and His life. And you'll understand that no man can come into the Father except through Him. And He'll reveal that to you in fresh new ways. Maybe you will consider the truth that all my life you have been faithful. Maybe you will consider that His goodness has been running after me. It's running after me. And maybe the day is the day that you will see the light of God and become a light in the world. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise You. We thank You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. We thank You that even now in the middle of maybe a storm, a trouble, in the middle of suffering and pain, maybe in the middle of loneliness, we come before You and find that you're faithful. You give us hope and you give us peace and you can even give us joy despite the circumstances. And we come before you recognizing that the fruit of the Spirit is that you will give us self-control and patience, and that you call us to indeed use whatever circumstances that we come into contact with, that the works of God may be displayed in our platform of suffering. Whatever we're experiencing, whatever the loss may be, that you remind us of your truth and you remind us of the promise that Jesus has the victory over our sin and even our death, and certainly hell and Satan. Today we believe you. Today we trust you. Today we ask for your help. Lord, you're with us. We believe you're not passing us by. And help us not to pass you by. We pray that many folks would call upon your name. We pray for family. We pray for our friends that are literally separated from you. We pray today they may call upon the name of the Lord. And we pray that you might be lifted up. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.